You're listening to 90 Day Fiancé Fridays with Shibuti and George.
Welcome, everybody, to 90 Day Fiancé Fridays on a Sunday.
Welcome, everybody.
And George Massey's back.
I'm back. I was stranded in Texas, guys, but I'm back. Texas is a nice state, but it's not a state that I would like to be stranded in. I'm just saying.
You got to go say hi to Tiger Lily. I understand.
I was in Dallas.
Dallas.
So, yeah, at her and Statler were around the area, but I didn't leave the airport, unfortunately.
True, and Coco can't make it tonight, but it is what it is.
Oh, no, Coco can't make it. I got to meet Coco in person.
And, oh, yeah, we got to get your side of the story.
After Vegas, I'm just going to say this. I like Coco and everything, but Mr. Vegas and I really hit it off. Like he's a really cool guy. Like we definitely enjoyed our time together. I think he's a friend now. Like whenever I'm in Vegas, we're gonna hang. Like I definitely hang. Yeah, but Coco's amazing. She's just as funny in person, and she's very, very pretty. And she's hilarious. And
that's what she said about you. She said you're like funny AF in person too, or something.
I mean, I like to believe that I'm funnier in person. I feel like it's harder to see my full comedic value through like a sound bite. Mm-hmm. You have to kind of see my expressions. I think that you need to be there. And, you know, it was crazy because we met for the first time, but I felt like we've known each other for a really long time. I mean, we have, but like I felt very comfortable hanging around them. You know, like it was very it's very nice. So we were very disappointed that you weren't there because I felt like we should have all been there. So the next trip, you are going to be forced to go. So if we have to go there and carry you hand and foot onto the plane in a kidnapping type manner, you know, that'll be what we'll have to do the next time.
True. Yeah. And I was missing out. There was like a hole there.
Yeah, it felt weird. Yeah, it felt weird not being there. I was like, wow, we're here and you're not. You know, it just felt odd. So, but yeah, I need no real excuses to go to Vegas. So whenever we're ready to do that, let's just hop on the plane and do it because I feel like it'll be fun.
True.
Fremont Street Experience was amazing. Thank you for the recommendation.
Yeah, no, I figured you'd like it because
absolutely hated the strip. It was such a gimmick. Like I didn't remember the strip. But Fremont Street I really, really liked. You know, like every time I go to Vegas, I go to the strip. And once you've seen the strip, once you've seen it 150 times, so there's no reason. But Fremont Street, I went to this bar called Whores and Heifers. It was one of the most amazing bars I've been in. It was very Kentucky. There were girls dancing on the bar with fake silicone boobs to a song called I Like Titties. And it was the most amazing experience. I was drunk, so I know I was having probably more fun than I should have, but I had amazing time.
Yeah, no, like the one thing I do use my social media for, like when I'm out of town or when I'm in a new city, I always hit up people and say, hey, like, give me recommendations for like a city. And I remember like when I went to Vegas, somebody said, you know, hit up Fremont Street, and I didn't really know what the deal was or what to expect, but I just literally, the first night I was there, I literally was like, you know what? My instinct says I'm going to trust you, just like off a whim of like, I didn't like research or anything. I just like literally trusted one person, and I was like, you know what, based on your word, I'm going. And then I went to Fremont Street the first night I was there, and like I had a blast. So I was like, oh shit, I gotta tell everyone about this.
It's like a second strip is, I guess, the best way to describe it, right? Like it's they have the strip, which you know that you've seen on TV and in the movies, and then there's Fremont Street, which is like the real strip. Where like, so if you were a Vegas resident, you would never go to the strip. Just like I live in Orlando, so I would never go to International Drive. But if you live in Vegas, you would definitely go to Fremont Street because that's where the actual people that live there would go to have fun.
Yeah, exactly. And yeah, I like hanging out where the locals go, you know, because it has to be good if the locals are going to go there.
Well, yeah, if the locals are going and they're having fun. And also, the drinks on Fremont Street are way cheaper, so you can get way drunker on Fremont Street and on the strip. Like, we went to the I Love Candy Bar on the strip, and we ordered a drink. It was $45 for the drink. It was like one of those big glasses where you can like share it or whatever, but then it was so nasty we didn't even drink it. So yeah, don't buy shit on the Strip. It's such a gimmick. Like, don't even do it.
Yeah, fuck the Strip unless you're seeing Lauren or something.
Yeah, unless you're going to see Lauren, don't even bother. It's not even worth the time.
Yeah. No, that was weird too that you were in town when Lauren was out of town.
Yeah, we were. Yeah, it was weird. And then I find out that Lauren is engaged to another person, a new Philippines girl, you know. So he moves very quickly. He said that he broke up with Faith on February 18th and he was engaged to another girl from the Philippines less than a week later. So Lauren moves very quickly.
Yeah, I don't. That's such a. He's such an enigma.
Well, it just makes you feel like he's had like backup plans lined up, you know, like, but we knew that though. Remember when before he did the show, he did that interview where he said that he had he had Faith, and then he had a backup plan with somebody else. Cause you know, he got married after he got back from seeing Faith the first time.
Mm.
He always has like somebody in his back pocket, which brings the question, who are these people that want to be with Lauren and why? Like, can we interview one of them? Cause I'm just curious to know what has Lauren got going on that he's got all these women or men ready to marry him? Cause I'm just really confused.
Yeah. Like, so, I mean, as the tea master general, I get so many like DMs and it's hard to parse through it all. And it's hard to know like what's actual tea and what's old news and what's new news. So again, I don't know if this is like new news, old news, if it even is news, if it even is true, I don't know. But somebody DM me was saying like, well, you know, the whole gonorrhea thing where like, somebody said the person, again, I don't know if it's true, so this is allegedly, and I don't even know if this is tea or not. But anyway, somebody was saying, like, the person that gave him gonorrhea was, like, a hooker or something, but apparently the hooker doesn't charge Lauren because Lauren has good dick.
What?
That's what I heard in the DMs.
It's a prostitute that gives him free rides.
Yeah. Because his dick is good, and that's where he got the gonorrhea, supposedly.
So is this why there's all these different women ready to hook up with Lauren? Is because he's laying pipe? Lauren doesn't seem like the type to me. I mean, I don't know. But usually people, when you hear that, you know, women will sell their kidney for a man because he lays it down, they're not typically describing a man that looks or acts like Lauren. So that's a little confusing for me.
I don't know, but I just know someone in the DMs told me that, so I don't know what the deal is. But supposedly, the person that gave him gonorrhea is a hooker, but the hooker that doesn't charge him because his dick is good.
Well, how could a hooker charge Lauren? He doesn't have any money.
I don't know.
Like, what would they charge him? Like, does he have to like buy them dinner? Or because like he can't actually pay with money, he would have to pay else. And I don't want to decide who's, because I don't want to be disgusted, but.
Anyways, let's talk about the episodes tonight.
So, speaking of strippers, so we found out tonight that Annie, like you said, was a stripper.
My tea was on Mina, but yeah.
Well, Mina, who was a former stripper, and then, well, wait, Mina's a current, yeah, former stripper in London. And
in Paris.
Say that Annie was also a stripper? Didn't you not say that?
Yeah, I think that was more well, I feel like that was more well known. Like, that was more. That was like kind of like out there and obvious, but the Mina one is more like was unknown tea.
Well, yeah, she didn't really want people to know. It wasn't advertised. But this Annie chick who's with the Thrupp. Hold on a second. My cat is like climbing on my. Get off of me.
No problem.
But so she's a stripper, and she's a stripper that Matt and Amani met in Mexico, and now they want to marry the stripper and move the stripper into their house.
And the three kids.
And the three kids. So I have like a lot of questions. So when you go to a strip club, you don't typically, well, I guess you could try to bring the stripper home. That's fine. But you don't typically try to marry the stripper and then bring the stripper and her entire family back to the U.S. with you. Now I understand better the comment that we saw on the first episode when we went to the next time on scene where she was like, oh, you know, you can't turn a hoe into a housewife.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, well, why are you calling her a hoe? No, now I understand. Well, but my whole thing is you pursued a stripper to marry.
Mm-hmm.
Strippers are usually not the marrying type. Or am I wrong? Are there strippers out there that are the marrying type? Because I've never really come across a stripper that I wanted to marry or would want to marry me. They're not the marrying type. So I was really confused at why they went there and thought that they found their next wife in a strip club.
Yeah, especially if they're still currently stripping and not retired like Mina.
Well, right. A retired stripper, that's one thing. They're trying to hang up the G-string. They're trying to air that coochie out. You know, like, they're taking a break. Like, this is a current stripper who is probably still working the champagne room, you know?
And then the other part I'm curious about is, like, Tijuana, right? Isn't that kind of, like, I know it's close. It's obviously close enough to San Diego, but isn't it kind of a seedy area, too?
Tijuana is where most of the drugs get smuggled through.
Yeah.
So it's a questionable area. Like, I don't want to, like, judgmental and say people that come from that area are doing something wrong. That's not fair. But a lot of times when you hear of shady things or drugs or smuggling or trafficking, it's happening through Tijuana.
So I don't want to, like, I don't want to be too stereotypical or whatever, but, like, yeah, she's a stripper in a city that has a seedy reputation.
Yes, the reputation is very questionable. You know, like, you don't go to Tijuana as a millionaire because you'll probably never be seen again. That's the best way to describe it. Like, you'll disappear and the government won't know anything about it. So it doesn't have the reputation of, you know, you go there and you find a decent Christian lady to marry. That's probably not what you're going to do over there.
Yeah, like, to be a stripper in Tijuana, you kind of probably have to be pretty... Like, it's hard to, you have to be kind of, what's the word, like, street smart and kind of, like, rough around the edges, you know?
Yeah, you're packing a gun, probably, and, you know, you've fought a few people, you know, like, so you don't get trafficked, I guess is the best way. Like, you got some street smarts, you can take care of yourself, and you're probably pretty good at scamming people, right? Like, you're probably good at picking out the richest guy in the club and taking him for all he's worth before before he leaves the city. That's probably what you're good at.
Yeah, and you're probably good around, like, when the clientele is part of the cartel, you gotta, like, navigate those waters properly. Well,
yeah, you know, you don't want to wake up in the ocean, you know? You make the wrong move and you wake up in the ocean. So, yeah, this whole thruple thing... Oh, and also, I want to get your opinion on this. So they featured their kids on this episode. Well, the first episode and this episode, a lot of people online are really, really against them featuring their kids because it's such an unorthodox situation. Because everyone's like, well, yeah, it's not like they're just featuring a relationship between, you know, the mom and the dad on TV. They're featuring a thruple relationship. And unpacking that, and I was like, you know, when you send kids to school, you know, as an adult, it might be like, oh, I'm on TV, I'm a reality star. That might be cool to other adults, but children don't find any of that shit cool. When your parents are on TV, or if your mom's a stripper, or if your mom's on OnlyFans, none of that is cool to other kids. They're going to bully you and make you feel like shit. So I was like, it's probably wrong that they're featuring these little kids in this situation. Because now other kids come after them because, you know, kids don't think anything is cool. Everything is stupid. And they're going to bully you for it. Like, as an adult, you know, if I tell my friends, oh, I'm on a reality TV, they're like, oh, that's cool. Tell me more. You know, but that's an adult conversation. Children are like, oh, your mom is a stripper. You know, like, they look at things way differently. Or your mom's a whore or this, that, and the other. So I feel bad for these little kids because now they're going to be subjected, you know, to the 90-day fandom. You know, we can be pretty mean. You know, not me and you specifically. We're not going to say nothing about her kids, but there's a lot of people who will. So now I'm like, damn, these poor kids are now going to be, you know, bullied around and talking about their mom's stripper and all this. Like, that's not a good situation to put your kids in.
Yeah, well, that's one issue Jasmine doesn't have to worry about. Oh!
Well, no. Jasmine, zero to worry about in that department, right?
Yeah. But, I mean, I know what you're saying, but yeah, that's... I don't know. I think it's kind of weird. Yeah, you're, as the cast member, you're in a weird position because you do want to display yourself being like a good mother on the show. And part of that is showing your kids good of a mother you are.
It's a win-lose because if she didn't put the children on the show, we'd be like, she probably don't even got custody of them kids. But since she put them on the show to show that she is active in their lives, we're still going to judge her for that too. So it's a double-edged sword. She's not going to win. Right, she's not gonna.
An example. I guess they're not strippers or whatever. They're not in a thruple. But like, an example of like what, like a Armando's kid. So like, they come across really well Kenny and Armando's, you know, like their parenting and their kid and stuff. So they come across really well. That's like the good part, side of the coin, you know.
Oh yeah, Armando has been dad of the year since he was, you know, because especially since that tragedy with the mom passing away and him raising the daughter on his own, like he became dad of the year in that situation. So it, yeah, it worked out in his favor. And then with Kenny taking on this child, treating this child like it's its own, they basically are like 90-day parenting guideline. Like that's like what you're supposed to do. So yeah, I think that. And again, I don't like to judge people's relationships. I always say if everybody's legal and nobody's upset and everybody consents, you should be able to do what you want. But sometimes the kids should get left out of it just so they don't have to deal with any repercussions of your actions or decisions, because they're still innocent, right? They're innocent in all this. But TV doesn't care how innocent or how old you are. They're going to put you out there for everybody.
Yeah, like... When Liz's daughter was, you know, the scenes with Big Ed, that always made me cringe. Big Ed would be like, Big Ed was like, come on and sit on the lawnmower with me. And I was like, it's so cringe.
Yeah, Ed is creepy in general, though. So, like, I don't know. I wouldn't want him around kids. But, you know, whatever. That's my thing. He's just creepy in general. But I think that bringing kids on, and it's funny because I always go back to Stacey, because Stacey has two sons that she wouldn't put on the show because the dad let them. And then Darcy has two daughters that she did put on the show, and then look where that ended up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, you know, it's fun. This is a total stupid aside, but like, her name's Amina, right? The Thruple girl?
Yeah, Amina.
Yeah, Amina has the same identical ribcage tattoo as like Darcy's, as a Nico.
What? Hold on, I'm gonna go.
Yeah.
What?
Because there's a this, you know, the same identical like right under the boob, the side of the boob.
Oh wait,
she has the same identical.
My bad, not Amina.
Ribcage tattoo, whatever. So I thought that was amusing.
How did you find it? Is it on her
Instagram? No, it was you know, like on the show, they kept showing like flashback photos of them, all three of them hanging out. So then at some point I paused it and I noticed one was there. So it was on the show, but in one of the old photos.
Did you tweet it out?
No, but I should have.
Yes, you should have. Now I'm gonna have to go and rewind and find it. Now I want to see that. I'd never seen that tattoo in my life, and now there's two people on the same show that have the same tattoo. So that's really interesting.
Yeah, so that's the new 90-day red flag, is having the ribcage chest tattoo under the
new tramp stamp, right? That's the new I shouldn't say that. But that's basically what it is, right? That's the new tramp stamp. So that's
when you have a lot of like cursive handwriting on your chest, on your ribcage, that means like your dad didn't read enough to you as a kid.
Yeah, that's kind of where I'm leaning towards too, which, you know, it's fine. Mm-hmm. Each his own. If some people like to read books, some people like to ride men. So it is.
So what do you think of Greg and his loaf of bread?
Oh, the sourdough bread that he baked Joan into. So my whole issue with Greg is his food handling skills, like the sanitation of it. He never wraps anything. Everything is on his hand. And I don't want to be mean, but I think Greg is a loser. Like, I'm just going to be real. Like, he lives with his mom, and he's, like, trying to get his fiance to sleep on the couch so his mom can't hear them have sex. Why won't he just get an apartment? Like, what is the deal with, because he's like, I don't have a job, but I bake bread and I'm a plumber. And then we found out later that he turned down a state job that was offered to him later in the season. We're going to get into that. And it's like, does he just not want to work? Or is he one of those people that is waiting for his mom to die so he can just take her house? Like, I'm trying to understand what his deal is.
Well, like, this doesn't answer your question necessarily, but it was kind of amusing because, you saw my, like, the bread meme I did, right?
Yes. Yeah.
So I posted that on Instagram, and then, hold on, let me just pull it up real quick. And then Greg, like, hopped in the comment section.
Wait, he commented on it? Hold on, I'm going to.
But he didn't comment, like, he commented on a comment. Like, and the person that commented is listening right now. But a friend of mine commented, quote, do you think he's ever effed a loaf? Like, you know.
Oh, American Pie style.
Yeah. So my friend commented under my meme and said, do you think he's ever effed a loaf? And then I joked back and I said flesh loaf instead of fleshlight. And then at that point, Greg hopped in the comment section after that, under that, and he said, but I don't think it was directed at me. I think it was directed at my friend. And he said, Greg said, quote, "Are you a narcissist?" So
that was
so my his response to my friend that said, "Do you think he's ever fucked a loaf?" His response was, "Are you a narcissist?" So he's in the comments now.
So the correct response would have been no. But he didn't say no, so I'm assuming he has effed the loaf. It was, "Are you a narcissist?" That was his response. So that does a lot. Because if someone said that to me, my response would be, "No, I have not." No, like that's something I would like to clear up right away. I have not done that, but no, he doesn't like the idea that people have an opinion of him. So this isn't gonna be a fun season for him, because little does he know, we're gonna have an opinion of him, and it's gonna change by the day.
Yeah, so I'm worried that he doesn't have a good sense of
humor. He doesn't. I can tell right away. Asking someone, first of all, if you're on a reality TV show, you're a narcissist yourself, right? That's where all narcissists are. They're on reality TV. So
exactly.
How dare you think that people who watch reality TV are the narcissists when you signed up to put your interestingly strange life in front of us? Like, you're the problem, not us.
Exactly. We should have consulted you on how to clap back.
Well, anyone who needs me to clap back, let me know. I am always ready, armed, cocked, and loaded. You come for me, let's go. We're starting a war.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and then my friend said, he got a yeast infection from effing the sourdough.
Wait, was that part of the comments?
That's part of our live comments right now, but yeah. But it wasn't part of the Instagram comments. But.
Ah, I mean, you can get a yeast infection because yeast is in bread. I like where this is going. See, this is the type of creativity I love.
So anyway, the insight on Greg is he doesn't have a good sense of humor because he hopped in my comment section and he does not follow me, so...
Oh, that's, so he's stalking you.
I guess I don't know how he found my post.
Yeah, that's how I always say when people come in my comment section and have something negative to say and they don't follow me, I'm like, oh, so you're stalking me. So should I go check outside my window? Are you in the bushes? So you're stalking me. Are you like watching me right now? Can you see me? I'm flipping you off. Can you see me?
So what do you think the mom is as just much of a loser?
So look, here's my deal with Greg's mom. At first, I thought that Greg's mom was like a nice Jersey, or where are they from? Jersey, right? Mom who just was a little overly into her son's life. Now, as I was watching tonight, I think his mom is jealous of Joan because I think that they're codependent. She's codependent on her son, like in a real like culty Debbie sense. I think because it's not that she doesn't want to hear them have sex. I think she just doesn't want him to need her and not be like all up in his mom's titties. Because I was listening to her tonight and she was like, well, I just hope he doesn't forget about me. And I'm like, he's 37. He should have forgot about you 20 fucking years ago. Like, what do you mean? I hope he like. I think that she's not only part of the problem, she is the problem. I think that she has made an environment for him that he can't exist without her. And she did it on purpose, kind of like what Colt's mom did to him. He couldn't function without her. He needed her to function. And now that he's went and found another woman, I think the mom is actually jealous of Joan. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think she sees her as an enemy.
Okay, yeah, like I think she's obviously like an enabler for him, but also let's back up to, so I don't remember if they said how much he weighed, but like did it say in the early episodes how much he weighed at the most or something?
I think at the most he said was like 400 something pounds, didn't he? And I think it said that he was down to 250, I think is what he said, or something along the lines of that.
Yes, so let's just say like he was like 400 some pounds, and I mean we know this from, you know, my 600 pound life where you don't get to be 600 pounds without like an enabler, you know what I mean? Because half those people on that show can't even move. So someone is bringing him all the pizzas and shit. So I feel like in the same way, the mom enabled him getting as fat as he got too.
Well, yeah, I'm positive of that. Okay, Greg Chillock from 90 Day Fiancé says he used to weigh 480 pounds. I was wrong. It was close to 500 pounds. And it said he lost 200 pounds between 2017 and 2019. But it says he didn't say an actual number that he was at on the show. So at some point he went down to 280. And
So the mom was enabling him to get for him to get that big. Well, and so now she's having a hard time seeing him trying to be independent for once.
I think that unfortunately the mom probably fattened him up to make him, you know, the Gypsy situation, right? Where the mom enabled it to where she made it seem like the daughter couldn't exist without her. So I think she probably fattened him up so she could be a caretaker, and that was probably her goal, was to keep him there. And then him losing 200 pounds and then finding a girlfriend is literally him going rogue on her plan. And I think that's why it bothers her so much. That's why she's trying to keep the coochie out of his bed, because she's like, when he discovers coochie, he's definitely not going to want his mom in the house anymore, and he's going to be moving out. So I think that's why she's pulling out the big guns to try to make sure that this doesn't work, because this is there's a lot of moms that are like this. Like, the husband might pass away early, or he early, and they become dependent on the son, but not like the son is basically their husband. They just don't have sex. And I think that's kind of the situation. So I don't blame Greg fully. I think Greg was set up to fail by his mother, but should have at this age woken up and been like, hey, I need to get the hell out of here. You know, like, you have to, if you want to bring a woman to the United States. Oh, and so I know for a fact that his mom is the reason why Joan is here, because he has no freaking job. So in order for you to bring someone here on a K-1, you have to have a sponsor, because we learned this with Tiffany.
And Asuelu.
And, well, oh, yeah, with Kalani and Asuelu and Tiffany and Ronald, if you don't make enough money, you have to get somebody who makes enough money to be the sponsor. And you know damn well the mom is probably the one who has the money.
Yeah, well, that's probably why she feels comfortable bossing him around, as far as like,
well,
sleeping situation.
He basically paid for his bride, right? Mom, bride. So she feels like, well, I'm in control. I can tell him what he can and can't do, because if it wasn't for me, she wouldn't be here. You know, I'm pretty sure that's why she's acting the way she's acting.
Yeah, no, that's why she's acting like a Karen, because she has a, like, she controls the purse strings.
Well, she's always controlled them. And I think this is the first feeling of her not being in control and him actually leaving her. And there's parents that are like that. There's women like Colt's mom was like that. She never wanted Colt to leave him or to leave her until he finally left. And then she met this guy, moved in, and now she's attached herself to this other guy. Debbie can't be alone. She's got to have somebody there. And she just replaced Colt with this other guy, which was good. Colt needed to move out. He was too damn old to be living with his mom. But, you know, again, it's more Debbie's fault than Colt's, because they made that environment.
Yeah, and obviously I think the mom kind of coddles him and does everything for him in terms of just shit to do, you know, like house chores and shit like that.
What killed me, I don't know if you noticed this, but she was mowing the lawn and he was inside the house on the couch. Did you see that in episode one? He was mowing, she was mowing the lawn, and
that was in the preview too of at the end of the episode, where he was like, let me feel up on that booty, and then and then you see like the mom mowing the lawn in the background.
Yeah, see, that's crazy.
But I feel like the producers probably like set that up because it's like, I mean, a funny.
Yeah, thing. You're probably right. You're probably right. They put in stuff like that to irritate us the most. But yes. I mean, for him to be 500 pounds living with her, she's definitely made an environment where he doesn't feel like he has to do anything. He ain't doing no laundry. He ain't cleaning his room. Did you see his room? I was like, bro, you don't have a job. You have nothing.
Oh, and then, somebody pointed out that the calendar is like, I don't know, 5, 6, 7 years old. Remember that part?
Wait, the what?
The calendar on the wall.
I didn't notice it. So
it was featured on the show, but like, so he had this old ass calendar of dogs or some shit, but it was like 5 or 7 years old, but it's still hanging up.
Oh my God. He's one people. You just buy a new calendar. There's the same pictures. They change the years. They sell them in the mall. I do that because I have Rick and Morty calendars every year, but I just buy the pictures are the same. You just buy the new one. Like, good God. I can't with this guy. And it's like, I don't want to be a hater or whatever, but you know, at that age, you know, I moved out of my mom's house when I was 18 years old. I would have been forced to have a conversation about intimacy with my girlfriend or fiance with my mom. That would have been enough for me to just pack my stuff and leave right then and there, because I don't ever want to have that conversation with my mother. So the fact that he is okay with having the conversation and then even willing to compromise on it shows me that he's got major, major issues.
Yeah, so we'll see. But what do you think of his girl?
I don't know. She's pretty. She seems smart, well-spoken. My whole thing is I don't know what she wants with him. That was the question that I just kept asking all myself tonight. Like, well, what do you want with him? Kind of like when Nicole introduced us to Azin and she told her mom about Azin, and her mom was like, well, what does he want with you? That's exactly how I feel with Joan and Greg. I was like, she was successful in Uganda, which isn't easy to do. And now she's moved. Basically, she moved in with a homeless man, and now homeless people living in his mom's house. And I'm like, I need to understand why she would do that. And if she's trying to improve her life and get a green card, you know, she's really slumming it. Because there are people who could have gave her a better road to a green card than this. She's definitely slumming her way there.
I will give her credit that when she landed and got to his house, that she took a shower, because a lot of 90 dayers just go to bed in the same clothes.
Yeah. Well, you can't sleep in the clothes you traveled in because they're filthy. I told y'all when I was traveling last week, every plane I got on, there was somebody coughing like they were dying. And I was like, oh my God, I'm going to get sick. I can't believe there are sick people on this plane. So the idea of wearing those clothes to bed after all those people were breathing and coughing, and it's wild to me that people don't feel disgustingly nasty right after getting off a plane. The first thing I do when I get off of a plane and get to where I'm going is take a shower. So the people who don't do that, y'all are wild for me. Y'all are wild.
I mean, on the 90-day show, though, that's almost a rite of passage, because it happens so often. They just don't take a shower.
Yeah, they literally change clothes and go lay in the bed. And then, yeah, they're nasty. Y'all nasty. Go take a shower.
That's a narcissism, I guess.
It's very narcissistic to think that y'all are just going to lay in the bed with all the germs you collected from all the different places you was just at. That's nasty.
Mm-hmm. All right. What other cast members do you want to talk about?
We talked about the stripper girl.
What did you think of the pilot and the Mina and the hot tub kind of arguing?
Or
when they went like furniture shopping, or
he took her to the corner store gas station to go grocery shopping, which I was a little confused by, because I was like, so is there no Walmarts in New Hampshire? Or does he just not go to Walmarts for like political reasons? I was really confused by that. And also, he owns an airplane, so even if there weren't any Walmarts in New Hampshire, he could have just flew her to where a Walmart was. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. He comes across to me as one of those men that can't exist without a woman to take care of them. So like, and it was confusing because he said he was single for like 5 or 7 years before, you know, she moved in. So I was like, well, who was actually taking care of you during the time? Because this kid that he has is over a year old, and he didn't think to buy diapers. Like, for the kid, I was like, that's literally the only thing a child needs is formula and diapers. Like, anything else is extra, but you got to have formula and diapers. I've been to enough baby showers to know you buy a crap ton of diapers and a crap ton of formula, and then everything else will be okay. You'll figure it out along the way, but those are the two things you have to have.
I mean, yeah, and then he has his grown up children, so he did it back in the day, right?
Well, yeah, he 26 years ago or whatever, he had a daughter that was a baby. But again, he was married, so I think he's one of those men that probably it was women's work, I guess. Mm-hmm. So his wife probably took care of the kid, because I don't think that he's going to be able to help with this kid. He seems really dumbfounded when it comes. He took her to an antique shop to buy a high chair.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just like, so is there like no other places to shop where you're from? Are you just that weird that you don't? Because I was like, everything that you need is at Target and Walmart. I'm trying to figure out why you're just not at Target and Walmart. Like,
I don't know what, we'll have to do research onto what city in New Hampshire he is, but it looks like a hella small town.
Well, but he's on the plane.
Mm-hmm. Well, are you going to put a high chair in the cockpit?
Well, they come in a box. Like, they're not assembled.
Mm.
They come in a box, and you got to, like, put the little poles together.
True. Valid point.
And then other people on X were like, no, even if you live in a small town, there's something called Amazon.com. Mm. Oh, and you just order everything you need. And I was like, no, that's true, too, because Amazon says they deliver anywhere. You could live in the damn mountains. They will bring it to you somehow with a drone. Like, they'll figure it out. So, yeah, I think that she's definitely a gold digger. Did you see in the hot tub she was wearing a thong? What'd you think of her body? I'm just curious. What'd you think? What do you think of what was going on there?
She's wearing a big one piece
We're hanging out, right? Her cheeks were hanging.
Her butt cheeks were hanging out.
You would make it rain for at the strip club? Is that somebody you would make it rain for?
I mean, I don't know if I'd make it rain for, but obviously she was comfortable being on TV with her butt cheeks hanging out, so it did just give me like former retired stripper vibes a little bit.
Oh, she's definitely a retired stripper. There's no doubt in my mind that she's a retired stripper. Like that doesn't, but okay, I'm gonna just be real. She's a Wednesday morning stripper in my book. Like Wednesday, maybe Tuesday afternoon, definitely not Thursday, Friday, Saturday, or Sunday. Right? Like
She's the matinee stripper.
Yes, when the other strippers are at home sleeping because they worked all night, she's the girl that shows up and she's a stripper slash waitress slash bartender because nobody else is there because all the pretty girls are off.
She's the stripper dancing while you're like there on a business lunch.
Yes, yes. And they have to have someone on the pole, but all the pretty girls are still sleeping because they were there till 4 a.m. Because I'm like, he's risking it all for this lower level stripper. And I'm trying to understand. You know, like, if you're going to pay for it, you can do better than that. You know, like, if you got to pay for it, you can definitely go to a strip club and get the prettiest girl in the club. Oh, I heard that y'all read the review. So what type of clientele were we talking at the strip club? I was curious about that.
Yeah, we only read the Paris one. We didn't read the other ones we have lined up. But I'm trying to remember. I mean, I would have to pull it up, but...
So was she one of the prettier girls there, or did they have any pretty girls there? I'm just curious.
Yeah, a lot of the reviews were a little weird in the sense of I think they were translated from French to English, so some of the, you know, English wasn't like perfect. But some of it was funny in the sense of I don't know. There's one thing where they're commenting on like the girl's skin, it was just one of those. I don't want to like rehash it, but. Just go back and listen to that part, but it was funny. But if someone was like, they were talking about the music. They're talking about this. The reviews that were talking about it like it's a club. But anyway, yeah, there's no point of going back and rehashing it. But I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah, I'll go back and look because I was just curious at what type of establishment. Like, is it a landing strip?
It wasn't as good as the landing strip one where we actually got there's a, like comedic callbacks now that reference the funny reviews, so it wasn't on that level where people had those kind of like experiences with the valet and shit. It was just more superficial reviews, but it wasn't as good. But so anyway, that's why I don't want to like rehash it because it wasn't as classic as the landing
strip. Yeah, there's no reason to bring it back up if it's not going to be worth it. I was just curious because I was like, I wonder if she was the prettiest girl at the strip club. Because like, if you walk into the strip club and you leave with the stripper, I'm hoping you're leaving with the prettiest stripper. You know, like you're not gonna risk it all for the ugly one. You know, so I'm just curious.
Yeah, true. All right, who else do we gotta talk about?
Sarper and Shekinah were on tonight. I don't know how much covering that. That's kind of like when I go refill my drink. I'm like really not following their storyline. It's kind of an annoyance for me. I like can't stand any of their storyline. It's just really annoying for me. But I did notice that she brought up her daughter tonight and said that she wanted her daughter to like Sarper. And I was like, so after you move to Turkey, after you apply for the K-1 visa, after you get approved for the K-1 visa, after this man has packed up his whole life into suitcases, it is now important that your daughter likes him. I was like, isn't it a little too late for that? Because it's already done. Like, you're already leaving tomorrow. He already has a K-1 visa. You're already moving him into your house where your daughter doesn't even live. Like, at this point, don't lie. Don't pretend like your daughter's opinion matters to you. I was like, you probably couldn't even pick her out in a lineup. Like, when's the last time you even seen her? Stop acting like you care. Because remember when she had her sister on last and her sister hated Sarper? Do you know that they still don't talk to this day?
No, I didn't know that. But remind me, was the daughter sent off to boarding school?
Yes, the daughter was sent off to boarding school. I can't remember what country it was. I think it might have been the UK. She sent off to boarding school, and the daughter has been in boarding school all of her high school life. And I think she's 16 or 17 at this point. So she's been off at boarding school. And before that, she was sending the daughter off with the dad who lived in another country. So Shekinah has been avoiding parenthood for a long time now. It's been ongoing avoidance.
Yeah. So I think that whole, you have to, or my daughter has to like you, I feel like that's just bullshit storyline.
And your daughter should like you too, but she doesn't. So why the hell would she need to like your husband? Like, I get the feeling you don't like her too much because you shipped her off. If you ship your kid off to boarding, usually means it's because you don't like them, right? There's not, I mean, I get rich people do it because they want to set them up for success. So they send them where there's the least amount of distractions and alcohol. But I don't think that's why she shipped her off. I think it's because she was getting in the way of her whoring around LA. I think that's where the real issue came in.
Yeah, I mean, it's all stupid because we know Sarper's in LA and we know he's doing some random like fitness class. Did you see the video of him doing the fitness class? But it was almost like a stand-up comedy routine.
Stop. Where is this? I haven't seen
it. It was kind of, I would have to find it, but it was funny because he was, I forget what he was saying, but he was doing like a bit. He was like, he was naming things that are like red flags or whatever. So he's like, if so-and-so does so-and-so, this is what you have to do. You have to run. And then everyone is standing in place starts running. So it's almost like a comedy bit. So he would bring up red flags and then he's like, if so-and-so, it's like a red flag. So you have to run. And then everyone like runs in place.
Okay. I'm watching it now.
Okay. You found it.
It's on his Instagram.
Okay.
Yeah. Mama's boy come running. She says, I love you. I see it. So there are people purchasing his class. So our next goal is to find somebody who purchased the class and we need to talk to them. That's my next goal because I want to know who is throwing their money away or essentially setting their money on fire by hiring him as a personal trainer. And I want to ask them why that they did that.
It has to be super fans of the show.
I mean, yes. I mean, but I don't know. Like, why? I'm not going to say that he doesn't look good for his age. He does. He definitely knows something about the gym, way more than I know. But, like, I don't know that I would pay hundreds and hundreds of dollars for this person to teach me how to work out. I just don't. I don't think that even if I was rich, I don't think that I would just be setting my money on fire like that. I don't even think.
Yeah, no, it wasn't like a serious workout. It definitely was like a comedy routine.
Well, yeah, I get that he's trying to be funny and he's even wearing a little microphone like they do in the Peloton
video. Yeah.
Which, you know, Peloton is like comedy mixed with exercise, too, which I've noticed. Oh, he's hugging the chick. I wonder how Shekinah feels about that. He hugged the chick at the end of the video. Did you see that?
Yeah.
Interesting.
But anyway, yeah, I don't know. The point is he's in L.A. Things are fine. I'm sure the daughter's fine with him. And that all that shit in Turkey is kind of like a waste of time.
Well, the daughter doesn't have to be fine with him. She'll never see him. Like, it doesn't matter how she feels. Shekinah and her daughter don't have any type of relationship. So however the daughter feels, it's irrelevant because they don't communicate. And it's like, and even if she only sees him on holidays, you know, you don't have to like anybody that you only see once a year. You know, so it makes no difference. I think that their storyline is missing, like, key things that make it work. You know, I'm not even exactly sure why they were so adamant on bringing them back, because even when they were on the first time, they weren't interesting. And then watching this season, it really makes it obvious that we're just watching bullshit. Like, there's no conflict in their storyline. There's no actual drama in their storyline. We're just watching nothing happen. It kind of reminded me of Joey and Magda. We're just watching nothing happen over 18 episodes, and I can't even get into that.
No, yeah, you're 100% right. I agree with your take. There's nothing going on. And I think what they should have done was, I know they want to stretch them out as much as possible, but fuck all that. Like, what they should have done was the first episode they're featured, all the turkey shit, have that on, like, the first episode they're featured, have all the turkey scenes. And, like, at that point, be done with it. Like, now they're getting on the plane to come to the United States. So all that could have been, like, one episode. So I feel like they should have condensed the first part. So, like, jump ahead to them being in the United States already. Like, I'm not interested in them in Turkey because that's so outdated.
Well, yeah, he's been here, like, over a year, right? Like, he's been here this whole time. And we knew he was leaving Turkey last season. The last season they were on, that's when they applied for the K-1. And then it ended right before it was.
Yeah. And then I will, just generally speaking on that episode, I will say, as far as, I'll have to go back and look at Captain Picard's and see if she posted any funny tweets. But as far as me, and I know I did my little bread meme, but other than that, there was nothing inspirational as far as like live tweeting from my standpoint.
Well, live tweeting was a bust tonight, but I think it had to do with the fact that the Oscars were airing. You know, 90 Day, it does well, but it when it's in competition with, like, Oscars, the Grammys,
it doesn't, but I'm just speaking on my personal, I'm saying me personally, when I was watching it, I was uninspired to live tweet, like, anything that was going on the episode. I didn't watch the Oscars, so that had no effect on me.
Oh, I mean, I think I probably shot out about 50 or 60 tweets.
Okay.
This episode.
Maybe it was just me. I don't know. I didn't find anything like that funny to tweet about.
Well, while Sarper and Shekinah were on, I went and refilled my drink. I took the garbage out. It's tomorrow's garbage day. Like, there were some parts where I was just like, I'm good. But, oh, I did remember the scene with Mahdi in New Orleans where everything mm-hmm. in New Orleans was against the law in Iran. I recall watching that. And he walked into the house next week's episode. He walks into her apartment and there's boobs everywhere, like across nudes. And I'd never met a man who complained that there were boobs everywhere. So, like, what a weird problem to have. Like, if I walk into a girl's house and there's boobs and naked women everywhere, it's not a complaining issue for me.
It's better boobs than, well, like, if you saw a ton of dicks.
Right? Because I was like, it could be dicks hanging on the wall. I was like, there's naked women everywhere. I was like, that wouldn't be an issue for me. I'd be like, damn, I met my match. You know, like, I like her. She likes boobs just as much as I do.
Yeah, I mean, it could be like buttholes and toes.
It could be much, much worse. And I don't know. I don't know how he's going to do in the U.S. because he's very, I guess, brainwashed into the way that his country is. And I mean, I understand growing up your whole life in one country and seeing things done the same way and the type of laws he was in. The U.S. seems very stressful for him. Like, everything about the U.S. is just almost mind-bogglingly
different. See, I think that, I'm not saying you're wrong, but I feel like the issue is he's in fucking, like, bumfuck wherever he is. Hattiesburg or whatever.
Well, they're in New Orleans right now. He hasn't even...
Yeah. Okay, well, I'm talking about him when he gets to Hattiesburg. And I feel like that's what's going to be difficult for him, because he's in the middle of nowhere and there's not much culture there other than, like, whatever her dad is. And, like, so that's the part that's difficult, because it's like, if he was, because you know how, like, for example, like, remember Mo in New Mexico? He found, like, a mosque and he found, like, cultured people.
Oh, yeah. He found, you know, people from his religion and his culture.
Yeah. Yeah. So, like, that New Mexico, apparently, I didn't even know it had, like, a Muslim population or whatever like that, but apparently he fit in that community really well and easily. So I feel like Maddie, he's going to have a harder time in that area to find that kind of community that Muhammad found, you know?
Well, I feel like he's not, like, super Muslim. So I...
Yeah. And I don't necessarily mean, like, the Muslim part, just, like, just in general, just like, because if you look at his Instagram stories, he's kind of annoyed that there's, like, he can't even find a Persian restaurant in that state.
Well, Louisiana, he probably don't know nothing about Louisiana. I grew up there. So, yeah, you're not going to find a lot of cultural diversity. Louisiana, you know, like, there are states where you can find some cultural diversity, but Louisiana is a very southern state where, you know, what's a nice way to say this? Closed-minded people who feel a certain way about certain people. And if your skin color is a certain tone, you know, they feel a certain way about you. So he's not going to find anybody that's going to make him feel at home there. You know, and most people that grew up in Louisiana, as far as I know, they usually leave. Mm-hmm. For a more cultural diverse environment, they usually don't stay, because you're not going to really find a huge culturally diverse environment in Louisiana. There's still a lot of segregated parts of Louisiana. Like, there's still, you know, parts where if you're a certain nationality, you all live in the same area. Mm-hmm. Not like in Florida, where there's, like, in one neighborhood, there's probably 20 different nationalities of people, like, all these different cultures. It's very, I always say Louisiana is 20 years behind everybody else. You know, they don't change and innovate the way other states do, unfortunately.
Yeah. So I feel like that's the biggest hurdle for him, is that state. But if he ever manages to move out of that state, I think he'll be a lot more comfortable.
I don't think Stevie's moving out of Louisiana. She looks like a lifelong Louisianian to me.
Well, he better put his foot down.
You know, her dad. Like, I feel like the people that are like her, I'll just say like her dad, they don't really move around the country. You know, they're not free to move about the cabin. They usually stay where they are, and that's why they're so closed-minded in their beliefs. Like, and they think that where they live is better than everywhere else because they've never been anywhere else. So I feel like, yeah, she'll probably be there. I don't know if their relationship is strong enough to make it, because he basically moved across the world to have sex with her and be with her when he could have just banged a girl local. So, like, and I think that was his clarity the next morning when he woke up and he was just like, I left everything for a relationship when I could have just had a relationship where I was, you know, like, but I don't know how dedicated.
Yeah. Well, you're saying he had post nut clarity.
Yes. That's exactly what he had. Did you, when they woke up and he was like, I would love to go back. You know, like he woke up the next morning and was like, I flew all the way around the world just to have sex with her when I could have sex with somebody at home. You know, like, I feel like that was his post clarity. He was like, damn, what the hell did I just do? Because he didn't just leave, because there's a possibility that when he goes back, he could be arrested or he could be not accepted. You know, it's not like he just flew that far for a booty call, which would also be ridiculous, but that would be it would make more sense. He and he might have given up his actual relationship with his family to have sex with her. Like, that's crazy. No one would do that.
Well, it seems though they're very much so together and happy, because they're attached at the hip as far as social media goes.
Yeah, I've been watching his posts and stuff, but you know, Jasmine pretended she wasn't pregnant the whole time we knew she was. So,
well, Jasmine's a whole level of, she's insane as far as lying.
People can be very convincing, so they could be
Jasmine's like sociopathic when it comes to lying, the ability to lie to your face.
Yeah, Jasmine is the type of person that could stab someone and be holding the knife, and if someone asked her what she did, she'd say she didn't do it. Like, she's literally a liar. Like, she's a narcissistic liar, and she's under the impression that she can do anything in the world and there's no consequence for it whatsoever. So that's just the type of person we're dealing with.
Yeah, that's why she feeds off of this reality TV shit, because she's perfect for it.
So I want to ask you about this story that broke the other day. This show related, but it's Last Resort related. So did you see that last year, you knew about this, Josh Waltz Weinstein's son was in a bad accident, a fatal accident with his friend. They were going a high speed on a highway, and they crashed. One person passed away. His son had a leg amputated. So while this happened, he was simultaneously filming the Last Resort. There was a GoFundMe that was posted that raised $5,000. So my question to you is, we know Josh shows up on the show and he has really expensive cars. And he recently did a live with Rob showing the cars in his garage. People were saying that they were rented. And he was like, oh, here are those cars that everyone says that I rented. One of those cars costs over, I think, $200,000, if I'm not mistaken. So a lot of people are like, if you drive, you know, very, very expensive cars, you are courtside seats at all these games. Obviously, this tragedy that happened to your son, nobody is minimizing what happened to Jet. It was horrible. No one should ever go through that. No parent should ever go through that. One of those parents had to bury their child. But people are questioning, why would you need money if you floss all over the internet and all over the show? And if you really didn't need the money, you didn't really ask for it, right? You know, because some people are saying, well, he couldn't have possibly needed that money. So what did he do with it? So what are your thoughts on that?
Well, let me just say allegedly, because these are just my thoughts. But for one, I feel like the cars, I think it's tied in. You know, when you have like a small business and you buy like a car and you basically make it as like a expense for your business.
Right.
So I feel like the cars are bought via a business expense. So I feel like that's how it gets around that. So you know what I mean. So that's how he gets all the nice cars, is he uses his like promo for his business with the cars and shit.
Okay.
So,
and also he, you can also, I don't know if people know this, but if you have really nice cars, you sign up with an agency, and anytime a movie is filming mm-hmm. and they need a really nice or flashy car, they'll use your vehicle and compensate you. Mm-hmm. Know people who do this. And you have to live, you know, somewhere near LA or somewhere Vegas, somewhere they're filming a lot of things, but you sign up with agencies and then they'll come and get your car and they'll use it in a movie and then they'll bring it back to you and they'll pay you. So it could be something like that, that he's doing as well.
Yeah. But
what do you think about the money though? Do you mm-hmm. think that he needed the money?
I think he more so needed the money versus him being buku rich.
Oh, so, I mean, that if he needed the money, I'm not judging anybody because that's his son. And, you know, you would do anything under the sun, you know, for your child. So I'm not judging for that. If he really needed the money, I have no issue with the GoFundMe, you know, whatsoever. I just think that it just looks really bad, you know, in my eyes and in the eyes of everybody else, that you floss, you say you have all this money and you're courtside and you're doing all these things, but you're really collecting donations from people, you know, like, well, yeah.
I think the question that needs to be asked is, take away all the sun and the GoFundMe thing, just the question of like, do you buy into the fact that he's like rich as fuck, yes or no?
So I have doubts.
Yeah, so I'm in the I have doubts camp as well. So yeah. I feel like if we're doubting that he's rich as fuck, then yeah, that's why I said then I believe that he needed the GoFundMe because he's not rich versus he's rich as fuck and he's doing the GoFundMe because he's greedy.
So if he's not rich, it's okay that he had the GoFundMe, right? Because his son really needed that help. Mm-hmm. So it's okay. So I think that's the real question. Is as long as he's faking the rich thing, we're not judging him for having the GoFundMe, right?
Yeah, I guess so, yeah.
Yeah, a lot of people online are harping on like, oh, well, he's rich. He said he was rich. This is wrong. He's rich. But we have to remember, a lot of people on these shows, not just 90 Day, but like a lot of shows pretend to be richer than they are. Mm-hmm. Darcy and Stacey, if you watch the show, you would think that they were both worth millions and millions of dollars. They're not. It's just a persona that they put on the show for you to believe. So I think that if he's faking that persona, you know, it's giving the wrong idea, because a lot of people are like, he bought Natalie a car. He bought her a Toyota Corolla, guys. Mm. He didn't buy her anything expensive, and it was used. Okay, so he didn't buy her a Mercedes.
Yeah, like, you know, when you rent a car, the smallest one, what's it called?
Oh, a Prius.
No, I just mean like there's like mid-size sedan, but what's the smallest one? A compact car?
Compact economy.
Yeah, compact economy. Yeah, he got Natalie a compact car, basically, is what I was trying to say.
Yes, the cheapest one that you can get, and it was used, you know, because a lot of people are like, oh, if you can afford to buy her a car, you can afford to pay for your kids. Mm-hmm. But, like, I think this is a real weird place.
Yeah,
for him.
So if Natalie was dating an NBA player and the NBA player was head over heels for her, he's going to fucking go get her, you know, a Mercedes and shit, right?
Yeah, with a big pink bow on it. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. But I think that might be a good testament of how much money he had, because he got her what he could afford, which was a Toyota Corolla. So I think that he's not rich, obviously, mm-hmm. because if he was rich, like you said, an NBA player would have got a Mercedes truck and put a big bow on it. He got her what he could afford. And I think he wants us to believe that he's balling and has all this money. But like most reality TV stars, Tiger Lily, for instance, they do not have anywhere near the amount of money they're trying to convince you that they have.
Yeah. And then on Friday's show, I brought up, it was one thing I tweeted and posted on Instagram, but it was about Amina, and like they were on that Netflix show and they were having money troubles.
Yeah, I heard about that. So even during filming of that show, they were talking about money troubles that they had, if I'm not mistaken. Isn't that what came?
Yeah, if you want, I could read you the thing I posted.
Real quick,
I'll read it real quick. This is from like last Friday show, but I can read it again. So this is one of my commenters in my comment section about Amina, the thruple chick. And he said, quote, saw these two on Netflix's How to Get Rich. He was feeling emasculated by being a stay-at-home dad, and they were having money issues. Their segment ended early because they quit as personal issues were starting to surface. Looks like they found their next gig. Seeing them show hop makes me instantly suspicious.
So money.
So, yeah, they were having money issues, basically.
Interesting. So yeah, because you know what? I think my early on theory was when I found out that she was running some sort of bootleg Airbnb. She said it's luxury Airbnb is what she, basically luxury rentals. And I was like, I guarantee you the house that they filmed in is probably one of those luxury rentals.
Just yeah. New. And then she had a G-Wagon on the show, right? So then that must be leased as well.
Well, I did see the G-Wagon, or I thought it was a Range Rover.
I think I said Range Rover, but I meant G-Wagon.
Oh, so it was a G-Wagon. I mean, it could have been leased, or, you know, they live in the San Diego area, so it's very easy to get access to a vehicle like that. So, like you said, they could have just rented it for the week of filming. And, you know, they do that in Miami, too. Like, you just rent whatever you want to drive in, you just rent it, $500 for 4 hours, whatever you want to pay. And you're driving a $400,000 car now.
Yeah, so you were the one that was more suspicious than me, so I think you were correct, though.
I mean, I was only suspicious because they went out of their way to show how rich they were. Mm-hmm. And that always raises a red flag for me. Because rich people, you can just tell they're rich. When you're around them and you see how they live and what they're doing, you can just tell they don't need to bring it up. And they just kept bringing up, oh, I'm rich, we have this money, we're renting a boat, and I make all this money, I have this tech company, and money's not an issue. I was like, you're talking about money too much for you to have so much. Mm-hmm. It's people who have it, that's like, money is a problem that causes issues in their life, they don't discuss it that much.
Yeah, and I'm trying to remember, how old is Amina again? Like 30 or something?
That's a good question.
Yeah, I think she's like 30, so yeah, it's not like she's 50 and had all this money, like, earned in her lifetime. She's only 30.
Yep, 30 years old. Yeah.
Yeah, so she's not, I'm saying, like, I mean, I think most people have more money when they're 40 than they are when they're 30, and she's 30. So.
Well, yeah. I mean, I know she has her own business and everything, but, you know, being a business owner is not as glamorous as a lot of people realize, because your overhead is your problem. Rather than when you work for a company, it doesn't matter what the company's overhead is, it's not going to get subtracted from your money. So I think that, you know, she's definitely fronting on the show. And then to be on a show called How to Be Rich is really weird to because everything that they're doing is selling this rich dream or this rich thing about them, which is weird to me, because if you were rich, you would just live your life and be rich and be happy. You wouldn't need to prove it to anyone.
Yeah, so that's them. Do you want me to read comments?
Yeah, let's read some comments.
Okay, let's see. Give me 1 second. Let's see. Gina says, the bootleg Airbnb was a major red flag considering no properties are shown on the site.
Thank you. That's what I said. I was like, how are you going to make money if you ain't even featuring no properties on the site?
Mm-hmm. And then Kim Kardashian's fan number 9 says, yeah, wealthy people don't act like first generation money or no money. Laugh out loud.
Exactly. They don't.
Mm-hmm. And then let's see. It's hard to read these without. Okay, this is about Josh and Natalie. Then why would he even be dating her? That's weird. Josh with Natalie is weird to begin with. He used her to get more TV relevancy. So it sounds like you answered your own question.
Yeah, yeah. And I don't disagree with that. I don't think Josh ever wanted an actual relationship with Natalie. I told y'all, I think I'm pretty positive Josh has been in a relationship with someone for the last 5 or 6 years, and it's not Natalie.
Mm-hmm. And then let's see. Gina says most rich people won't flex it. This is about Shekinah. It says her whole thing is she makes Sarper constantly feel like he's on the chopping block. I mean, I don't know. She makes the biggest fuss over everything. I mean, that's probably just trying to be interesting on the show.
Yeah, I think she's more into Sarper than he is into her. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't think that she could make him feel like she's going to walk away. I highly doubt that. She thinks that she won the lottery with that dude.
Mm-hmm. And then this person says, oh, Shekinah has definitely read the social media comments. Gina says, I think it's, this is in reference to the strip club reviews. I think it's because of the translation issue. I didn't have much like anecdotes to tell you, because it was still a funny bit, but there weren't like great anecdotes because of the translation issue. But anyway, someone said, Laurie says, Mina looks like she's been rode hard and drugging wet.
She does. You're right. She does.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was the reason I didn't answer your question on Mina's looks. I didn't want to be honest and like totally shit on her. That's why I didn't have a good answer.
Well, look, I'm just going to be real with you. Mina looked like she probably had some cute days 15 years ago. But yeah. Mina, she's looking rough. Like she said, road hard and drug and wet. It looks like she had a rough life. Think she was on a very turbulent flight and they had an emergency landing. Like, yeah, she looks now.
Yeah, she looks like she was on an airplane in Canada that landed upside down, yeah.
Yes, thank you. Her crooked. Right? Like, it looks like that they carried her out of that plane upside down. That is exactly how she looks.
Exactly, yeah. Gina says, let's see. Well, remember at the Whispers Club, there was no pole dancers. Let me just keep going. Mina in the chat, different Mina, says, I would love to see Mr. Sunshine put together a high chair. I guess Mr. Sunshine is a pilot.
Oh, Mark. Yeah.
Yeah, she would love to see him assemble the high chair. And then Mina says, don't forget the baby wipe warmer and all the baby wipes need a lot of baby wipes.
Oh, shit. I forgot the baby wipes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, diapers are useless without baby wipes. What are you supposed to clean them with? So, yeah, it's baby wipes, diapers. I didn't know about the baby wipes warmer. That's like a new... Well, I don't know how new it is. I don't know, but I didn't think about that either. Because, yeah, ice cold baby wipe might actually cause a baby to pee on you.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that makes sense, too.
All right. True. And then in another comment says, already not liking this Greg guy. If you don't want to be made fun of, then don't put your business on television, period.
Especially when you live with your mom and ain't got no job and you walk around airports with pieces of bread. Like, it's almost like the memes are writing themselves. Don't be mad that we got memes about you. You're literally giving us the information in postable form. We don't even have to change it.
Yeah, he can't be mad if someone calls him a mama's boy.
He literally is attached to her nipple at this point. Like, he said that he was going to sleep with his door open so mom didn't get mad that he had a girl in his room. He's 37. What do you mean? You're 37. You can have a girl in your room. But, I mean, I get that it's her house, you know, but at some point, you know, you can't tell your 37-year-old kid they can't have sex, right?
And like then, according to our chat, Patty, it's a clarification. They live in New York and not Jersey, according to
Patty. Oh, New York. My bad. And you know what? That's a huge mistake because New York and New Jersey people don't get along.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a huge mistake. That's like blasphemy. My bad, guys. I did not mean to put them in the wrong city because I know Jersey and New Yorkers are not friends. So that is not okay.
And then Mina says, if Greg can't afford an apartment, he could have done an Airbnb just for a while he has a guest. But if you can't afford an apartment, you're not going to afford an Airbnb.
Yeah, because actually a week in an Airbnb would be the actual cost of a month in an apartment.
Exactly. So I disagree with that take. Greg can't handle being bullied. And then let's see. I'm trying to figure out who this is about. It says TJ is not for... Oh, Tijuana. Tijuana, okay, now I understand. Tijuana is not for a naive person. You have sex traffickers, you have sex workers who are forced to work, cheap alcohol flows. Tijuana is amazing for street tacos at night.
Oh, okay. I mean, I was just saying what I heard.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
and then let's see. Lauren can pay for sex with a sex worker with eggs.
Oh yeah, you know.
Well, I don't think Lauren can afford eggs now.
Yeah, eggs would be like filet mignon for Lauren. So yeah, I don't think he can afford that. Mm. Speaking of which, there was a buffet in Caesar's Palace that was $88 a person. So I don't know how the hell Lauren affords to live in Vegas. I was like $88. That's expensive for me. Mm. I was like, that's crazy. $88.
I know, right? Better be all you can eat eggs.
I was like, is it all you can eat the whole time I'm here? Mm. I was like, $88 for one meal. Y'all got me crazy. Y'all got me messed up with that. I can't even do that.
Yeah, Gina says, when my BFF lived there, I went to Fremont Street. It's the old Las Vegas.
You're right. It is. I went to the El Cortez because Coco and Mr. Vegas took me to the El Cortez, and we actually saw the room that Frank Sinatra performed in.
Mm-hmm.
It was pretty crazy. And it was like, I think one of the buildings in Fremont Street, it was like one of the oldest buildings, I think they said, in Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
They're telling me. So yeah, it's a walk down like historical lane. It's crazy.
Sure. All right. Those are all of our comments. Anything else we want to discuss before we end it?
I think that's it. Cause we touched on that, that Josh thing. Cause that's what people have been talking about.
And then I think Josh he's with like Jen.
Oh, so is that who he's with? You know, there's rumors going around different people's names. So you said that Jen, who is Libby's sister.
Yes.
And she's the one that used to date the Orlando radio DJ.
Yeah.
And actually not date. They were married and had kids. Actually, if you want to get technical, I think he's still a DJ here, actually. Mm. She was with him and they had a couple of kids and he's still really close with the family. That would make sense though, because Josh, I've seen Josh and that family together before.
Mm-hmm.
Like in pictures and videos and stuff. I don't know what the relationship is, but that would actually make sense, actually.
Yeah, that's what I'm hearing. But it's kind of weird because it's kind of like old news, but kind of resurfaced again. So I don't know what the deal is. But yeah, that's the word on the street.
We'll find out, you know, who it really is and if it's legit or if he's trying to get back on the show just with her. You never know with Josh, right? Like, is it a real relationship or he's just...
Is Josh the person that spearheaded the 90 Day Bad Boys? Like, is he the one that, like, put it together initially or something?
Yes.
Okay, he
talked about it on his interview with Sarah.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, he said that he was the one that thought about the idea of it and he's the one that did it. So
yeah, so that proves how much of a... I mean, even though I'm liking him these days, so I hate to say this, but it proves how much of a fame whore he is.
Well, yeah, he's a fame whore. His son was in the hospital going through life-changing surgery, and he was showing up to the Last Resort for tapings.
And he was posting about it a lot on Instagram and shit.
So I ain't coming after him. He's friends he's in my friend group, but it is what it is. He definitely wanted to be on the screen, right? Nobody can deny that. He made sure that, because, you know, a lot of people will say if their kid was having life-saving surgery, they wouldn't have had time to film anything. They would have been in the hospital. So, you know, he made his choice. You know, he knew where he wanted to be. So yeah, fame was definitely something on his radar.
And then did you see And then did you see the like meme thing I posted on Instagram where it was Amina and then I said like swipe left to make this picture hotter and then I photoshopped out her husband?
Oh, I saw that. Yeah. I did.
Yeah. Oh, so I posted that. And I think if I recall correctly, she like DM'd me and said, that's not nice. And then I responded with a laughing emoji.
She responded to that?
Yeah. She said, that's not nice. And I laughed.
That shows how ballless her husband is because he had her go and attack you for it. Mm-hmm. Like he didn't even fight his own battle. He sent his wife to yell at you about it. That's ridiculous.
Yeah. I don't think she was seriously offended though.
Well, I'm sure that it's well known that she's with a ballless dude, right? Like, I think most women are. Yeah. You know, I think they prefer it, actually. I think some women like being in charge. And, you know, a neutered man would be something that they would like. So I think she's happy with it.
Yeah. All right. Well, I think that we rounded all the bases of tonight's episode.
Yeah, I think we hit all the bases. It wasn't like a crazy, ridiculous episode. But I just want to commend you on your ChatGPT Stacy. I was reading that and I literally almost passed out laughing of her with the croissant. So I just want to tell you that was literally gold. Anybody that don't know what I'm talking about, it's on his Instagram. It's from the scene on last week's Last Resort when she woke up hungover and it looked like she got run over by a bus.
Yeah.
And she needed empanadas, but all they had was a croissant. So if you didn't read the ChatGPT on that, please read that. It's freaking hilarious.
Yeah, no, that must have been good because she, even though it was, you know, goofing on her, she shared it on her story. So kudos to you, Stacey, for having a good sense of humor.
Oh, yeah. The Darcy sisters, the Silva sisters have a great sense of humor. That's one thing I love about them. They have no issue laughing at themselves. So yeah, that's one thing I love about them. You can call them any types of names and they'll laugh with you.
Yeah, if AI is goofing on you, then you have to laugh about that.
Well, right, and not only goofing on you, but nailing it. Like, I read it and I was like, why is this so good? Now I see why people are so worried about AI, because why is AI sometimes funnier than people? Like, I see why comedians are worried now, because AI is literally going to be the next form of comedy.
Yeah, though I will say that was Shibuti GPT, meaning like I kind of nudged it in certain directions to say those things. So yeah, I'll take a little credit.
Well, that's good. You gotta put some of your humor in there. We can't let the robots win, right?
Yeah, so I'll have to do more of that, since those are hits, apparently. Yeah.
Oh, huge hit. It's amazing. And you know, we should have you should do a ChatGPT segment on the show too, where we just roast the cast member and let ChatGPT just go at them. I feel like those blow over really well.
Oh, you just give me an idea. You know who I gotta have Shibuti GPT roast is Mr. Gregory and his bread.
Okay, yeah. Let's do that for Friday's show.
I mean, if it's good, I'll go post it on Instagram and then we can talk about it Friday, yeah.
Well, yeah, then we can talk about it Friday, because I feel like, and I know he's going to be in your comment section, because you know he can't take a joke. Mm-hmm. And then that'll be more information we can discuss on Friday, because you know he's going to be at home. And he's probably going to have his mom comment on the post and tell you to stop.
Yeah. Oh, I'm going to have to find a photo with him holding the bread, because I feel like that's the comedy gold of it.
Oh, absolutely. Him holding a piece of bread in the airport with no gloves on. And then I think the funniest part was she was looking at the bread like, you don't expect me to bite it, right? Like, yeah, right. Like, what do you want to do? Because he handed it to her, like, here, this is yours. And she's like, what the fuck am I going to do with this? You know?
Exactly. Oh, real quick, though, one other random question. Do you think Greg's mom is going to turn into like a social media fame whore and start an Instagram? Maybe she already has one, but like, maybe she's on Instagram. Do you think she's going to like pop up on Instagram and have like a cameo? Or do you think she's that type?
At first glance, I don't think so, but I think when the fame hits people quickly, like if people like you, it hits you pretty quick. And, you know, sometimes they do get caught up. She might actually take on like a Debbie or a Miss Debbie role, where they're like the mom that everybody loves.
But do you see people loving her or hating her?
Well, I think people are in between. Like, some people like her because she's like that typical Italian mom, you know, have that family dynamic. And then a lot of people hate her because she raised a man child. Yeah. So it kind of goes either way. I feel like either way, she's going to be talked about a lot.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure exactly. Wait, when a 90 Day Fiance went off, it said next Sunday. Did you notice that?
No, but what's your point though? Or what's the issue?
Usually it says Sunday, not next Sunday. Hold on. I'm just going to check the DVR real quick to make sure that they're not skipping a week. Because it's on my TV and I looked up and it said next Sunday.
I don't know. I think you're reading into something. Nothing there, though.
Does it normally say this Sunday or next Sunday?
It says next Sunday if you're talking about the preview at the end of that show.
Okay, yeah. Sunday, March 9th.
Yeah.
Ignore me. Okay. I have no.
All right. Let's end it there, I guess.
Yeah, we'll end it here. We'll be back Friday for 90 Day Fiancé Fridays on the actual Friday.
Yeah, and hopefully Coco and George will be there, hopefully.
Well, I'll be there. I don't have going on this Friday. Hopefully Coco will be there, cuz I would love to converse with her again. We had such a good time in Vegas. And next trip, it doesn't necessarily have to be to Vegas, but Coco and I decided while we were together in Vegas that you are going to be forced to attend the next trip with us. So you don't have any say in it, or you just have to purchase your ticket and show up.
True. All right. Well, we'll see. I'm an East Coast guy.
We can do New York.
I'll be in New York. I'll be there in 2 seconds. Yeah.
Yeah, we can do New York. I'm open to that. Just it got to be more than 20 degrees, though.
Yeah. Sounds good to me. I'll be on the first train on Amtrak.
Yeah, I'll be on the first plane that doesn't have a bad safety record.
Yeah.
So whatever.
Definitely. And then if we do New York, we could get some, if there's some hardcore fans, maybe they could meet up with us.
Yeah, I feel like that would be a good place to do it because there's a lot of people from that region. So yeah.
Yeah. It'll be at Greg's house unless I make fun of him, and then that's gonna fall through.
Yeah, Greg's mom's house. Greg doesn't have.
True that. Okay. All right. Well, let's end it there. Thanks everyone for listening. This will be on Apple, Spotify tomorrow. And I think that's considering not that much happened on this episode. I feel like we still did a solid hour plus.
Yeah. We can't make something out of nothing, guys. We did. We got what we're working with, you know, it's what we're working with.
True. All right. Thank you everyone. Talk to y'all Friday with the whole crew.
Whole crew next week. Bye guys.
Peace.